Glad you're with us today. We go to the guest line, and the partner and managing director of One Private Wealth, Dave Simons, joins the show. We are in the midst of the tariff war right now, and it seems like the number fluctuates all the time, Dave. 10% tariffs might be under 10% tariffs. We don't really know what's going on. So where is the level of uncertainty this week as it pertains to the economy moving forward?
I mean, oh my goodness, Chris. It's 50%. Well, China could be 150%. Oh no, there's a pause. Oh no, it's zero now. So, as I always talk to investors about this, you've got to look through the headline noise. And you just heard the report that consumer confidence really shot up in the last month. And you think, why? What's changed? I think investors and consumers have finally realized what's happening here to say, I can't manage my life around the latest text or the latest threat or the latest pullback. And it's probably not going to end up being as draconian as maybe Liberation Day numbers showed, that there is some negotiation here. But I think at the very least, Chris, in answer to your question, I think you're going to see probably when it's all said and done, 10% tariffs on almost all of our trading partners, and then with a few selected countries like China perhaps being a little higher.
Hey, Dave, Brad Young here. And if you strip away the politics, if that's possible, and just look at the economic fundamentals, job numbers, unemployment numbers, GDP, those types of things, how does the economy look when you strip away the noise?
Brad, it actually looks very good. And I think you're seeing that again. Let me reference the consumer confidence numbers that came out today. That was very, very telling. And there's still a lot of money sloshing around. Now, depending on where you are on the economic ladder, you are going to hear me talk about how the economy is actually pretty good and say, what the heck are you talking about? There really is a growing divide that has been in place for a number of years, and it does seem to get wider and wider. So people above a certain level are just fine and doing well and saying, hey, it's pretty good. And others are saying, man, I'm kind of struggling. But when you look at the usual data that economists like to focus on, unemployment, inflation, yeah, still a little higher than what the Fed would like, but still at a reasonable level. And bond yields, which had been rising, have been starting to come back down again. So stripping out the politics, indeed, Brad, you hit it. That's hard to do, I think, for a lot of people. But when you do that, we're in pretty good shape. Not great, not where we were maybe a couple of years ago, but pretty good.
So where is the it does seem like there is disconnect. Is it strictly political because the economy was good under the last president, but people thought it wasn't? And now there's a lot of uncertainty here. We don't know what's going to happen moving forward, but now people think the economy is great. So why does it work out like that? You can tell. Yeah. I mean, there are numbers, there are metrics. You can see if the economy is good or not.
Yes, and there are metrics that show how the people's responses tend to be dictated by their own personal politics. And you just hit on something very important, Chris, because I've seen this in my career a little bit, but really over the last decade or so, it just continues to get worse. And just more recently, as we were heading into the 2016 election, I had some folks on one side of the political fence say, man, if Trump wins, I'm out of the market. Well, I don't know if you did or not, but the market actually did very, very well. And then when we got to the election for 2020, I heard from the other side, man, if Biden wins, I'm out. And so I would say, well, if you really believe that, you should probably get out before the election, because after it's too late, the market's moved against you. But that gets to the point that you can't. I went back in history and I looked back 100 years and saw that the market has never crashed. It's never had a major correction in the days and weeks after an election. We look at bigger things. Now, that's not to say that a particular president won't have legislative ideas that could be good or bad for the economy, but they take a while to play out. You see that coming. You can take your time. But strictly using politics and elections and for or against the person in the White House almost never works.
And Dave, does that just drive home this idea that folks should have a plan for investing, a plan for retirement, a plan for savings. And that plan, you stick to the plan regardless of who's living at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Bingo, Brad. You're speaking my language here, and that's what we always get back to. It's the plan, it's the plan, it's the plan. And I have an acronym that I use called the PAIR principle, P-A-I-R, and the P is the plan. And just real quickly, A is assess, but assess your own life, where you are. I is then invest in that plan, and R is just a review. But it all begins with a plan. Yes, you should massage the edges. If a particular person is in the White House or congressionally they're passing something that you think might harm the economy, then yeah, you can move some things here and there. But ultimately, you have to look at what you can control, how much money you're spending, how much money you can save and invest, reasonable rates of return. That's the plan. And almost, it just never happens where the person in the White House will have a major impact as long as your plan is solid.
We have seen, and we're talking about these tariffs and what the end result is going to be. We've seen companies within the last couple of weeks flat out say the prices are going to go up because of the tariffs. Do we have an idea of just how much everyday prices are going to be affected for people?
Yeah, it really, I guess on that, Chris, depends on the products involved. When you're looking at products that come from overseas, especially a lot of parts like with automobiles, yeah, you might see some price increases there. Is it really possible, for example, that Apple could move all their headquarters here and their production plants to avoid any tariffs? Because I just saw an analysis to say if they indeed did that, which would take a few years, by the way, the average price of an iPhone goes from about $1,000 to $3,500. Well, that's just not going to happen. So I don't know if it's a fear or a worry, but just something that we're watching. These tariffs, if they are 10% plus across the board, how much will be eaten by the companies themselves? Well, then if you're a shareholder, you have to watch that because that might hit their profit margin. And then how much is passed on to the consumer? Again, you have to watch that because of inflation. I've been in this business now, I'm in my fourth decade, and I've never felt like I had to kind of babysit the data on a daily basis like I am now.
Dave, I want to talk about the dollar for just a moment, because, and I know this is getting a little wonkish, and so I want to make sure that we address this in a way that most folks will grasp. But when you talk about the value of the dollar, how the dollar stacks up against other worldwide currencies, and we've seen a lot of news recently about how some countries are maybe toying with the idea of moving away from the dollar, and the value of the dollar goes up or down. But the bottom line is, how does the fluctuation of the dollar, how does that affect what consumers are paying when they go to the store?
So we'll keep this 30,000 foot view. So the dollar, to me, the most important aspect of a nation's currency is a nation's currency, because it describes who you are and where you are in the global standing. It is your personality, if you will. It is your resume. It's like if you finish a long race and you get to wear the medal. You're like, wow. You did something good. You stand for something. That is your currency. And since World War II, if not even a little bit before that, we've had the go-to currency. It is the reserve currency of the world. I can't begin to describe how important that is, because it does keep costs of goods and services on the lower side. It does help with trade. It does help keep oil prices low, because there's some stability there when things are priced in one particular currency where the rest of the country depends on and believes in and is solid and safe. And that is why, perhaps more than anything else, guys, in early April, when the stock market was sinking and the bond market was going up, the most important thing that institutional and global investors were looking at was our currency. Because now people started to think, wait a minute, is the U.S. dollar as safe as we once thought. I think they were overstating it, but I understand principally why they would question that. Getting down to the brass tacks, though, what does this do for prices? It depends whether it's domestically or internationally. If you are traveling, you love a strong dollar. If you are traveling and the dollar is weakening, all of a sudden it's becoming more expensive. Well, it's become more expensive the last couple of months as the dollar has come down. I think you're going to see it stabilize here, though, for a little bit.
So I don't think we had a chance to talk about this last week, Dave. In the aftermath of the tornado, we were talking about recovery and that sort of thing in our spot with you. But on Friday, actually the day of the tornado, Moody's downgraded the U.S. Yes. in its credit rating. How big of a deal is that, and what does it mean for people?
Well, it ties directly into, again, we were talking about the dollar, and so that has an impact. But this is really interesting because there are three major rating agencies, and two of them had already downgraded us in years past from AAA. So it was, I think, only a matter of time, perhaps, that Moody's did it. They really finally did it when this big, beautiful bill was working its way through Congress saying, you know what, if this thing passes like it is, that's only going to add more to the deficit. Estimates are another $3 trillion over the next 10 years minimum. And so here we are sitting one notch below AAA. Now, let's look at the reality of it. Are we seeing anything as consumers or Americans or investors because of that today? No. At this point, it's more of an image thing. And I get back to that personality of who you are with your currency. That's all it is. I'm sorry, but you've got other countries like Germany, and there are at least a half dozen other countries that have a triple A rating on their debt, on their currency, on their economy. That is not moving investor money to those other countries. So I wish we were AAA. We are no longer that, but it hasn't changed a thing with global investors still moving their money here to the U.S. We are still seen as the safe haven.
Well, how long does it take to get back up to AAA? You know, I mean, is it the sort of thing that takes a lot of time?
Yeah, it's all about the budgeting on that, Brad. It's all about cutting our deficit, which continue. Look, there are no deficit hawks left in Congress. It's amazing to me, outside of a Rand Paul and some mm-hmm. others. So it used to be, okay, Democrats love to spend a lot of money and raise the deficit, and Republicans are the deficit hawks. That there may have been some truth to that, but it's not true anymore.
Out when there's a Democrat in office.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're right.
Both parties have just, it doesn't seem like any desire to cut into that deficit. But let me say this very quickly. The next time anyone wants to point to Washington, D.C. and say, I can't believe these guys are continuing to add to the deficit, may I suggest to you very politely, you look in the mirror, because the reason why they're not doing it is because we all talk a big game, but if they say, okay, we're going to cut the programs that benefit you, and we may have to touch Medicare and Social Security, you're like, oh, that's crazy. I'm voting that guy out of office. That's why they're doing it.
Dave Simons, we appreciate you every week coming on and making us feel a little bit better about the situation.
My pleasure. As always, Chris, Brad, good to talk to you both.
That's Dave Simons, partner and managing director at One Private Wealth, who joins us every Tuesday at 10 o'clock on 104.1 FM KMOX.